Welcome to Bee's Table Talk, the podcast in which we have great conversations with business and leaders in our economy. My name is Bee Kyle, President and CEO of the St. Paul Area Chamber, and I'm glad you've joined us. I always enjoy these, my chance to have conversations with leaders among us doing great things within the community and within their organizations. And my guest today is a new friend, a chamber member, and a leader within the state and the national business landscape. Jasmine Jurley is the new president and CEO of Allianz Life, succeeding Walter White, who will retire at the end of the year. Actually, he retired at the end of 2021, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So Jasmine's been in the financial services industry for about 25 years, and including significant leadership tenure at Wells Fargo. And Jasmine has an undergrad from the University of St. Thomas and an MBA from Hamline. A fun fact on Jasmine is that we talked about this when we were visiting a while ago. I had a stint as a financial advisor with Dane Rauscher back in the early 2000s. So we were in the same place at different times, ships passing in the night. Given my love for finance, it was the most fun professional season of my career, and I'm so grateful for the skills I learned then. So it's a pleasure to get to meet and talk with you today, Jasmine. So welcome.
Thank you, Bee.
So we have lots of things to talk about. I want folks to get to know you. I have found you to be such a personable, down-to-earth, you know, kind of grounded human, which is delightful. So it's been a pleasure getting to know you. So let's start with that and let's introduce you to our listeners so they get to know a little bit about Jasmine Jurley.
All right, thanks. So I was born in Green Bay, but I consider myself to be, you know, for all purposes, a native Minnesotan. I love the Twin Cities, have lived here most of my life, and, you know, just really enjoy this great city or cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul that we call home. I have a husband, Joe, and a daughter, Claudia, and she's 10. So she's at that phase of life where she's kind of my hobby outside of work. I love spending time with family. I love the outdoors and being active, even when it's, you know, the kind of depths of Minnesota winter. I've found some ways to enjoy being outdoors, you know, skiing and hiking and other things. And I love all the kind of wildlife and nature opportunities that the Twin Cities affords us. Outside of work, in addition to spending time with my family, I'm really passionate about what we can do to help give kids in our community a better start. So I've been very involved in a number of nonprofits that essentially tackle various areas of childhood health and wellness. Washburn Center for Children, College Possible are a couple of examples. I really believe that as business leaders here in the community, we have a responsibility to help give back and make sure that we're setting our youth up for successful futures, not only just to contribute to the, you know, health and vitality of our community, but also to really have the best start at a successful, fulfilling adult life. So I'm super passionate about that topic.
Great. You know, I find my experience of you has been that you're such a grounded, down-to-earth person. It totally makes sense that your roots are Midwestern as well. It's just you feel very comfortable and very familiar to me. So as a CEO, your humility is really gratifying. It's obvious. I'm sure it's creating a culture impact for your organization too. And I think about where you went to school. So when you were at St. Thomas and then at Hamline, so when you were a young woman, you know, when you're going to school, what were your dreams for a career at that time? Like, what did you want to do when you grew up?
Yeah. So I certainly didn't have my sights set on leading a life insurance company, but I'm fortunate to have fallen into this path. But actually my original plan when I was doing my undergraduate degree was to become an actuary. And I realized after an internship with a company and kind of, you know, what that entailed, I wanted a little bit more human interaction. And I, you know, found that I was really curious and got a lot of energy out of, you know, how do companies interact and serve their distribution partners, their customers? And I wanted something that was a little bit more market facing or customer facing. So I changed my path to business at that point in time. And while insurance wasn't necessarily the segment that I was looking at, I think like a lot of young people, I was probably more naturally curious in things like retail or other more, you know, kind of tangible businesses. I found that insurance really kind of spoke to my values, and I really enjoy the idea of being able to do something that's very meaningful for people's futures and people's lives. providing financial security in different circumstances through different products was, you know, fundamentally what insurance companies do. And I thought that was something I was really passionate about. So one of my early jobs out of school was at what's now Securian. It was Minnesota Mutual at the time in St. Paul. And that was a great place just to really kind of learn more about the industry and the company. There is really fantastic. One of the other things I love about the insurance industry in the Twin Cities is that the companies here all really do collaborate and work together. Securian, Thrivent is a couple of examples. We're strong partners in trying to make the community a better place. And I've learned a lot from other leaders at those organizations as well.
You know, that is quite a statement about this region. I talked more than once about Miles Shaver's book. He's a University of Minnesota professor. His book, The Headquarters Economy. It was a fascinating book. And he was trying to figure out why is our economy so uniquely diverse and so strong with large companies. And he, among the many things he talked about, was this idea about cross-collaboration, cross-sector collaboration, intra-sector collaboration, which is kind of what you're talking about. There's this engagement and connection feeling here where you can say with such goodwill how much you appreciate Securian. And of course we do, we're a tenant in a Securian building downtown St. Paul. So we, you know, they're great partners to us and civic partners, as is Allianz Life. And you talk about Thrivent too, huge investors with us. So I just love what you're talking about, that you carry the goodwill with you when you go to a new company and now you can work together with them today. Very neat. Well, okay, so we've mentioned several companies. We talked about Dane, we talked about Thrivent and Wells Fargo and Securian. And I really want to talk about an actuarial work someday. I'd like to know more about that. But on your way to this position, what would you say would have been your favorite job prior to this one?
Probably being the chief growth officer at Allianz Life, which is the role I had just prior to moving into the president and CEO role. It combined a lot of interesting functions that were fascinating to get to work on together. And a lot of the role was focused on new opportunities and opening up access to new markets, creating new things. So I really loved being able to kind of apply some of my entrepreneurial energy in that way and, you know, try and experiment in some new areas that ultimately we found have been successful for our company.
Well, you know, it's funny, you talk about the success of your company. You're a $1 billion organization. You're a next generation leader, you're fresh, you're down to earth, you're an entrepreneurial spirit. And so you have, in my mind, I see you having an opportunity to chart a future for the organization, particularly after the long tenure of Walter White with his great career, his track record, his reputation. You have some opportunities to do some new things. And how would you describe, you know, the direction that your vision is taking the organization?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you're way too kind. Walter did leave the company in a great place, though, and I think we do have a strong foundation to build upon for, you know, the success of the organization. I'll talk about a few areas here because I think this there is a huge amount of opportunity for us. First, I think there's a lot of opportunity for Allianz Life and also for other financial services companies to really better serve Americans to ensure that they have the right plans in place to achieve their retirement goals. Despite some of the recent headlines about lifespan getting shorter, the reality is that many Americans are going to have a very long retirement, you know, upwards of 20, 30 or more years. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're paying enough attention to all the risks that can derail even the best retirement plans. So we really need to be helping to, you know, consumers and Americans think about ways to address longevity risk and the risks that they'll face in retirement so that they can live, you know, their lifestyle that they'd like to live throughout the entire span of their retirement, no matter how long it lasts. A few topics like inflation, rising healthcare costs, and market volatility are really continuing to be pervasive. And I think we'll see these trends continue. If not addressed or if those risks aren't mitigated, it can be very disruptive to a consumer's retirement plan. So ultimately helping to, you know, make sure that we're educating and providing tools and solutions to meet those needs.
Well, it's interesting that I talk about the vision for your organization, which you describe as a life insurance company. And one of the things you talk about is retirement. So that might not be something that everybody knows. And it's something I learned when I got to the chamber that life insurance companies often provide retirement plans. And is that a must be together, or is that just, is it, how does that work when we look at the landscape of insurers for the retirement planning? Is that a huge part of Allianz Life?
Yeah, so every company is going to look a little bit different, but fundamentally there's, you know, different ways that people plan for retirement. One of the areas that insurance companies are uniquely suited to serve in is, what we would call protected retirement solutions or protected income. So an example of a product that can help consumers do that would be annuities, which take money, you know, different shapes and forms. And those are insurance products, actually, that have to be manufactured and distributed by an insurance company. So when we think about, you know, insurance as a category, we're certainly, proud to have a strong presence in the life insurance market. But we are thinking bigger about what can we do to really protect retirement income security for consumers. And that includes a range of different risk management products to help with retirement planning and decumulation solutions as folks are actually in retirement.
Interesting. Totally makes sense. Of course. Of course. So this next question is purely for me. People who love me know I love talking about numbers. And as a still relatively new leader, I share your, you know, how do you figure out this job? You may know the business, but it's a job still that you have to learn how to do and how to be.
That's the right.
Most, you know, how to be the best at, you know, tracking progress. And so I'm still wrestling with a dashboard of metrics that I can use to track progress throughout the year. Have you built anything out like that that helps you?
Yeah, we do utilize a lot of metrics and somewhat of a balanced scorecard to help us mm-hmm. manage the health of the business. I find that putting these things together into, you know, a comprehensive view does help to show where are you winning, where might you be falling behind, or you need to make some changes. Each metric independently means something, but the combination of those things is really powerful. So as an example, you know, it could be great to have a really strong year of revenue performance, but if your customer satisfaction starts to dip significantly, you're clearly growing at the expense of taking care of your customers. So that would be something, you know, that we'd want to fix. But a few things that we look at, I mean, of course, we have the typical quantitative metrics like operating profit, net income, and margin. But we also build in a number of qualitative targets that help to manage and monitor the health of the business. So I talked about customer satisfaction. We also look at a whole host of customer experience metrics across the value chain. And then we really look closely at employee engagement because that's something that's been a big focus for Allianz in the past. We really take a lot of pride in creating a superior experience for employees. And we really want to be seen as an employer of choice to draw talent in financial services to the Twin Cities. And even more specifically to Allianz, of course. Mm-hmm. So those are a handful of things that we look at, but that balanced scorecard that really looks at that each piece of the business, I think is so important.
Well, how do you get customers? Our challenge is we doing customer surveys. Lots of folks don't like to do customer surveys. So how do you, what's your best vehicle for getting customer experience input, the qualitative measures?
Yeah, you know, you're right that some people don't want to fill out surveys. So I think we found we have to have multiple methods to obtain the feedback. So we do have a host of surveys. Sometimes we found that having a more of a point in time interaction based survey can be helpful. So that could be following a service experience that someone might have had, just to give you one example. We also do focus groups where we'll proactively identify groups of consumers who recommend or who represent different segments of the market and ask them to come in and talk about their experience and kind of, you know, what do they think are our strengths? What would they like to see us do differently? And those tend to be successful because people like to talk about themselves and their experiences. And we found that we actually get some really rich data that tells us a lot about how we can also continue to improve and enhance our products to better meet customer needs.
Fascinating. I appreciate that. Thank you. I have a question for you about Allianz, but and its sports and such. But before we continue to talk about that, I really wanted to ask you a personal question. And we hadn't talked about this in the past, But I'm looking at you and I'm fascinated by you. And what I'd really like to hear also is, when you think about a woman in leadership, where we're at right now, are there any unique challenges that you find yourself facing, or perhaps some thoughts that you're having about how to keep yourself grounded in doing the work that orient you as you think about your leadership style? And that might be a big question, but I really would love to know how you're approaching your new job.
Yeah. Well, I certainly don't have all the answers, but I am really trying to focus on being flexible and finding ways to keep myself resilient. So that includes kind of, you know, what I'm doing in the workplace and also how I'm taking care of myself personally. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important for everyone right now as we're getting close to 2 years into this pandemic. And frankly, the world has just been a roller coaster, you know, for the last few years. It doesn't take away from the importance of having, you know, a well-articulated business strategy and good long-range plans. But I think we also just have to be realistic that, you know, the circumstances and environment around us are changing really quickly. Mm-hmm. So we just have to think through, you know, what would we do if different scenarios present themselves, and be flexible to doing things differently or making change. And I found I get a lot less stressed out if I am able to kind of give myself the grace to think about things in that context. Mm-hmm. I think for women, you know, there's everyone has had the challenges, I would say, during this environment and in the pandemic in particular. But there's a number of research studies that have been published recently. I just read one by McKinsey talking about how women are bearing a particular brunt in the pandemic, balancing, you know, unique workplace demands, mm-hmm. and then also more challenges managing things at home. For example, people with children whose, you know, kids aren't able to be in school or other care settings on a regular basis, all of a sudden they have a new part-time or full-time job of, you know, teaching kids and making, making lunch and doing all these things that they have to fit around their work schedule. I mean, it's pretty incredible when you think about how, what everyone's had to face and address. So I also try really hard to, you know, set a tone of caring in our environment here at work, and just really, whenever I can, encourage our leaders to, you know, give people some grace and understand that, you know, we have to show some really particular empathy for the human situation right now, and we'll be stronger for it if we can keep our people healthy and resilient on the other side of this.
You know, it's funny you should say that. We're spending a lot of time talking in my team about a good piece of advice I heard years ago was, be careful of what your default path is when you're under stress, right? Mm. My default mechanism when I'm under stress would be to retreat, go to financial analysis, go to my spreadsheets. I know people don't laugh at me, because it calms my heart, my head, it centers my thoughts. It gives me an opportunity for uninterrupted, you know, work and thinking, and ultimately hyper productivity. You know, I can outwork you. And that's not necessarily what we need right now, is hyper productivity. And so that has been on my mind. Beware your default when you're stressed, and trust people around you to kind of round out your experience of leadership or your team's experience of the organization. We talked at length recently with my team about the quality of life side of things, which you mentioned, you know, empathy with one another and grace, and this idea about we're parenting full time and we're working full time, and that perhaps hyper productivity is not the only thing we should be thinking about. There's also this, as you said, this human element that we really need to invest in, because it's this degree of stress on individuals perhaps is even more than the degree of stress that the businesses are feeling, because it's so real and it's all around you, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, we also have been living in a period of uncertainty with, you know, how long is this going to last and what is it going to look like when it's done, right? And as business leaders, we're all being tasked with articulating, well, what's the future of work model, and how is hybrid work going to look, and so on and so forth. I mean, like every, you know, major company in the Twin Cities, of course, we're doing lots of planning, but the reality is we don't have all those answers yet, because we don't have a clear picture of the end state. So all the more reason to continue to be flexible and just figure out, you know, how we can best meet the needs of our customers, the needs of our employees as they are today, and then we'll be prepared for what happens tomorrow. But, you know, we certainly don't have all the answers. The default style mm-hmm. thing is important. I have a colleague, a dear colleague, but who goes into list making mode. And I will say this lady can make, I'm not kidding, probably a 900 point list of things to do. And I'm like, that would make me very overwhelmed. You know, if I, so it's good awesome. Advice for all of us to pause and take a breath. I think very good advice.
Oh my gosh, that's too funny. you mentioned Securian, Chris Hilder over at Securian. I consider him a friend and he certainly has been a mentor. And I asked him a question when I first started my job, because I was trying to figure out how to do it, you know, and I was, whenever I talk to someone in a similar situation or bigger, or for that matter, you know, even different, you know, how are you managing your leadership experience? And my biggest question was always about balance. They didn't have enough balance. You know, I was worked hyper productivity, you know, working too many hours, and other parts of my life were out of balance. How are you experiencing? And he had an interesting answer for me. I'd like to know what would be your advice to someone when the question of how do you find balance in your life when, you know, you could be a full-time parent and a full-time worker and a full-time volunteer, and there's just so much you've got to maintain that. Do you have any recommendations?
Yeah, I think for me, it helps to really think about scheduling time for the things that aren't my work commitments and holding myself to those commitments like I would a work commitment. So as an example, you know, I like to go jogging or walking or something to get some fresh air in the morning. It would be very easy for me working for a global company to have a call every single day at, you know, 5:30 in the morning, but I protect a portion of my calendar early in the morning so I can get outside and get that fresh air and that exercise. And I'm convinced that's a huge pace setter for the rest of my day. It's helping me keep healthy, and I'm, you know, protecting my commitment to take care of myself. I also think you got to look at it in the big picture. There are certain days that are a complete, you know, chaos, right? Of just so many things happening and, you know, perhaps a very overwhelming day from time to time. But then there's other days where, you know, you can deploy some more flexibility. So that's what I've been trying to do. But I think I still have some work to do to get it all quite figured out.
Well, I particularly like you protecting your calendar. Are you able to have that discipline?
I'm getting better about it. Yeah. I think, you know, there's always things that come up, or, you know, the reality is in my job, it's my responsibility to be available to our customers, our employees, our financial advisors. But there are times, particularly outside of core work hours, where it really can be a choice, you know, and mm-hmm. and I think it forces me to prioritize some things, and it forces me to leverage the great team I have around me to help take on some tasks that maybe I don't need to do myself. And I think if I stay healthy and you know, really, I'm committed to that personally, that helps me do my job better. And so I think much like you'll hear parents deploy tips of, you know, I need some space from childcare for my own, you know, health. I think you have to do the same thing in a job setting where you know, protect your own ability to stay healthy.
I really, really appreciate that. I need to hear that. So thank you. Thank you for that. So back to the fact that I have a St. Paul Area Chamber hat on. I wanted to talk to you about Allianz Life and your investment in St. Paul, particularly with the Allianz Field. You know, we have been joyfully watching that project and participating in games and events. And when I first discovered who the naming rights sponsor for that field was going to be, I was surprised. I didn't know that Allianz has invested across the world in sports, in particular soccer. So it's quite a story. Can you tell us a little bit about that and your company's priorities around sports?
Yeah, so we actually do have one of seven of the Allianz, what we call family of stadiums here in St. Paul. So there's six others in other places around the world, but this is the only one in North America. And, you know, we're really proud to have such a, it's a beautiful facility such a great landmark that also helped to bring, you know, professional soccer to the stage here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and then also nationally. So It'll be the site of the MLS game this year. We're really excited about that.
Yes.
Huge win.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, soccer as a sport is unique. And it's a global sport. And Allianz is a global company. And it is a sport that's really focused on inclusion and unity. And those are values that are very important to Allianz as a company. And so we like to see that play out in the sporting world, and are really proud to be able to work so closely with, you know, in this case, the Minnesota United and all the other companies who are part of that success story here in the Twin Cities. We also are the insurance category sponsor for the Olympics and Paralympics for the next 8 years. So we have a handful of sponsored athletes from the Twin Cities that you'll see sporting the Allianz name.
Yes,
Jesse Diggins.
Yes, absolutely. Congratulations.
Yeah, Jesse Diggins. I was going to say we got a few. So we have Jesse Diggins, a famous Stillwater skier. And let's hope she gets the gold. Team Schuster, Duluth-based curling team. So go curling. And then on the summer side, we're working with Matt, the armless archer Stutzman, just a tremendous Paralympics athlete and story. And you know, we're kind of just getting started in this space. But what we love about the Olympics are those same values that I described as soccer. You really transcend to the world games and the world stage. So we're really proud to be a part of that. So I think, you know, these have all been catalysts for also, you know, nice investments here in the Twin Cities. We're able to sponsor hometown heroes. We've been really proud to be a part of some of the great change happening in the Midway community. And ultimately, I think, you know, we're continuing to see more revitalization of that community, and we'll ultimately be able to see, you know, much more growth and development come from the investments that are happening, you know, in and around that stadium. So we're quite proud of that.
I really appreciate what you're saying about you align your investments with your values. I mean, that deepens my own thinking about how important it is for my organization that our values align with yours, such that when I talk to you about, or any other company about investing in us, that we speak to values. I think that companies are being called to that higher standard today, where we're aligning how we invest our time, our talents, our resources, and aligning that with values. And for you to be able to articulate that is just beautiful. So thank you for that. It totally makes sense to me too. So we're talking about the environment we're in. So I'm also thinking about, we're at this recording, it's late January of 2022, and will it ever end pandemic that has made us all weary and wary? I mean, even to the point of we're wary of being optimistic for fear we have another disappointing crush like we did in the beginning of this month again. So, and there are a few guideposts to help us. And yet we persevere, and yet we are resilient, which is a beautiful word. Thank you for that. So can you give me five, whatever makes sense to you, to describe your experience of 2021, whether it be personal or professional?
Yeah, well, maybe I'll go with three. Five gets to be a lot, but I would say it was challenging for all the reasons that we talked about, but I would say challenging. There were tough challenges and there were fun challenges to tackle too. So, you know, I've been really excited to see the growth and success of Allianz despite all those pandemic challenges, and being able to have the privilege to lead the company through some of that was no easy feat, but a fun challenge too. Rewarding. It's always fun to see positive outcomes and see positive results. I am a glass half full kind of person. And I think taking time to celebrate our successes is also a good way to stay motivated and excited about the future. And then I would say pivotal in that there's just so many things that have happened that we probably won't even fully appreciate until we have the benefit of hindsight. It really changed the way that we work, changed the way that consumers interact with companies, or changed, you know, some of the ways we make decisions as organizations. So I'm looking forward to reflecting on that, I think, with the benefit of a little bit of the rearview mirror. But I believe we've really seen some pretty big shifts and movements in our society that will probably have a lasting impact for many, many years to come. But there's lots of ways to look at it. I think as leaders, one of the best things that we can do is really stay optimistic about all the things that are in front of us and, you know, really stay focused on the future.
I appreciate your optimistic approach to that. In the midst of trials without a clear ending, I appreciate your approach. So thank you for sharing that. I ask all my questions, my guests this, and it's our last question here. Your purview is international. Ours is much more grassroots. We're regional, we're state, you know, we focus here on this culture and this economy and this market. And so so I really want to know from your perspective, how valuable is chamber engagement to your business, truly?
Yeah, well, I would say all good things start close to home. And mm-hmm. for us, you know, St. Paul, we consider that kind of our second home as we've built our presence in the Midway community, and we're really invested in growing and helping to make change and development there. So the St. Paul Chamber plays an integral part of, I think, making all of this change happen in our local community. You know, just the Midway example alone is one area where we see the partnership is truly invaluable. I would also say, you know, being a part of the Chamber helps us connect to the local community and make sure that we're serving all of our neighbors and constituents in a very productive way, the best way possible. There's excellent programming available through the Chamber, ranging from your equity series to, you know, educational initiatives. And these things, I think, are challenging us to, you know, make change and continue to increase the equity in our community. Back to the values conversation that we just had, this is extremely important to us as a company. We want our community to reflect our values, mm-hmm. and the role the St. Paul Chamber is playing is, you know, instrumental in that. And then finally, I would say, you know, at Allianz, one of our community engagement goals is to really create strong pathways to economic inclusion. And we see our partnership with the Chamber playing a key role in that. So we've really realigned our volunteer and philanthropic and other community activities to focus on that area. We believe with economic inclusion for all boats will rise, and we'll continue mm-hmm. to see our community mm-hmm. get healthy and mm-hmm. stronger. So we love the focus the Chamber has in that area. And I think the more companies that can help support that, it will only make our community a better place.
You know, it's interesting that I appreciate that feedback. Thank you. And it just goes to show you that the conversations we're having now about how chambers, how our clients, our members are looking for chambers to engage in the region, in the community is different than it was, which is also what you could say about how your engagement with your client base is. It's different than it was. There's a higher degree of depth of character required. If an organization can have character, and I kind of think organizations do, that there's an higher expectation of, or a higher standard required of us, and a deeper level of engagement at the same time. So I continue to think about how our organization needs to morph really to represent the voice of our business and community, which you and I both know is kind of one and the same. So anyway, thank you for that response. I appreciate that. And unfortunately, we've run out of time. You know, I really want to thank you again for chatting with me. Well, I appreciate your time and all the your organization has been and will continue to do in service to our community. Thanks so much, Jasmine.
Well, thank you, B, and thank you for your personal leadership and the leadership of the Chamber. I think you guys are just doing tremendous work to make our community stronger, and I'm excited about what's to come in 2022.
So thank you for joining us for B's Table Talk. We have more conversations ahead, speaking to business leaders in the Greater MSP region, hearing from them on how their companies are adapting to deal with COVID-19, and of course, what does recovery look like into 2022 and 23, how we're paying it forward in the community. And so thanks to all of you, and we will see you in the trenches.